Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nina Pantic, joined in Lake Nona by my co-host, Irina Falcone.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Our special guest today is Captain Kathy Rinaldi.
Hello, ladies.
We're here in Lake Nona at the USTA National Campus. So, Kathy, let's talk about what you do at the USTA.
Well, I am the head of women's tennis, and so we run the player development out of HOAT, Home of American Tennis. We run a lot of camps, and we have preseason coming up for all our pro players and for our top prospects coming up. We do quite a bit, actually.
Kathy is a former world number 7 WTA pro, and she was ranked as high as number 13 in doubles. She led the 2017 Fed Cup team to the title, and she's worked with a ton of young American and veteran American players.
That's correct. I love my job. I feel very blessed to still be involved in tennis after all these years of playing, of course. I feel like all my playing years have kind of prepared me for this position, and this is more like a calling. It's not really a job to me. I really look forward to it every day. It's got its challenges that are wonderful, even. And I get to work with players like Irina.
Okay, so being Fed Cup captain and head of women's tennis, how much are you actually on the court still? Or are you mainly just doing busy work, meetings, and all that fun stuff?
My role has changed. I mean, I have a huge responsibility now as head of women's tennis. You know, not only looking after and fighting for the players, but also our coaches, our player development coaches, and our private sector coaches in the programming around the country. I'm now feeling a little bit more settled in my new role, so hoping to get more on court time with the players. Was out there a little bit with CC and Caroline Dollahide, and of course our friend Allie Kick, and I'm really trying to get out there more now. Samantha Crawford, that's coming back, and wherever I can kind of insert myself. I'm kind of a pest. I'm like, hey, I want to play two-on-ones.
Would you say that off-season and preseason, I mean, is that like your favorite time of year because you're able to be with all the players here at the HOAT?
Yeah, it is one of my favorite times. It's one of the busiest times, too, but it is one of my favorite times, to be all together. Obviously, we have a lot of players outside of HOAT that are training as well, so, you know, want to make sure that they're all set and have all their needs taken care of, too.
And then the Fed Cup process that you're part of, how much of this job is recruiting players and convincing them, or not convincing them, but getting them on board?
Well, I think you have a really incredible core of players that, you don't have to talk into playing Fed Cup. I mean, they just love playing Fed Cup. And I've been very blessed to have a lot of our top players, I mean, all of them basically have played Fed Cup. And now we have a whole new young generation coming up, too, that are excited to play. So I think that's what is so great about American tennis, women's tennis in particular, because we have so many players in the top 100, and they all have raised their hand. So I feel very lucky.
So we have to talk about 2020, Tokyo. That's pretty big. It's going to be your first Olympics as Fed Cup captain, mm-hmm. correct? Is it easier or harder knowing that you have to just pick a few selected players for next year?
Well, that's the good and the bad. The pros and the cons of having so many great American players is, okay, you have a great pool of players to pull from, but you can't take them all. And so I would say when people ask me what the toughest part of the job is, that is it. I would rather put my arms around everybody and say, let's all go. But I can't do that. So, the players will be fighting for their positions, and that will speak for itself.
Is there a deadline for when you have to decide this is my group? What is that deadline?
Yeah, it's in June.
Yeah. Okay. So it gives you some time.
Yeah. Yes, and it gives the players time. And, you know, I'm super excited to go to the Olympics and honored to be an Olympic coach. I didn't have the opportunity to play as a player. We had so many great American players when I was in the top 10. We were stacked. And so I never had the opportunity to go, and I always wished I had that. So to go as a coach is super meaningful for me.
It's almost kind of, obviously, I know you would have wanted to play, but in a sense, I mean, you're going in there, you're established, and you're helping other girls, and you're going to be part of the opening ceremonies. I mean, that is pretty cool.
It's a dream come true.
So we have to talk about 2017 a little bit, because that is when the U.S. Fed Cup team won. Can you tell us about that experience, especially because you guys beat Belarus in Minsk? What's Minsk like?
Oh, it was incredible. The atmosphere was out of this world. You know, packed stadium, sold out every day. The accommodations were second to none. The hospitality in Belarus was incredible. The competition was absolutely off the charts. I mean, that final is something I think all of us will treasure for the rest of our lives. I've never been so proud of a group of young ladies. That entire year, everybody stepped up. And then having Sloan in the final step up was incredible to have her as well. You know, I was just looking at the picture yesterday of us holding that trophy in my home, and it just brings back such great warm memories. And we also had a young lady, Jenny Brady, there with us, who then later on, you know, has now played on the team. And just that time together, it's bonding. It's something that bonds you forever. It was incredible to win my first year as captain. And then to follow it up with another final in Prague. So it was pretty incredible. Why can't we get one of these finals at home?
soon. Yeah. So I'm sure that a lot of our listeners don't really know how much you travel. I mean, you probably travel just as much as some of these players. I mean, you're probably going to be going to Australia, going to be there. And then, I mean, it's just nonstop. Would that be accurate?
Yes. I mean, I'm probably traveling more than when I played, actually. But I think it's so important for me to be on the ground and up close watching the players and their coaches and their teams and supporting them in any way that I can. And also for Fed Cup, it's helpful to be there and to you know, continue my relationships with the players and to scout. That's a big part of what I do as well. So, and I'm there to support our coaches. We have an incredible staff here at Hope with our strength and conditioning and Dr. Larry Lauer, who you've spoken with, and our nutritionist. And so I'm really out there supporting everybody. And I just love tennis. So for me, you know, I love being there. You know, I'm so passionate about what I do. So it's an honor. It's not something I take for granted. Every time I go back to a Grand Slam, I'm like, wow, I'm here again.
She's not wrong. We joke about it like all the time that you could probably give her a frying pan. She could still beat a lot of players out there.
It's that perfect technique.
The timing is just so good. It just
hasn't
so clean. Would you just be on the court all day if you could?
I love it. Yes, yeah. I do love it.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hey listeners, you're listening to the Tennis.com podcast with special guest, Fed Cup captain, Kathy Rinaldi. She's telling us all about her job at the USTA as the head of women's tennis. Keep listening.
How did you transition? Because your pro career was really, really strong. How did you make that switch? Did you go right into coaching? Was there a lull where you did something else?
Well, when I finished, I had my family, of course, and I had my son, and I still continued to play a little bit, mostly doubles at the end. And then I kind of naturally fit in. I was doing some corporate outings. I was lucky enough to be asked to do some of those and some commentating, kind of just seeing what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to stay in tennis. And then I taught. I hit with Irina a few times in Jupiter, where we both lived, and hit with some of the girls that were still on tour. But then I was also coaching over at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach. I was there for 10 years part-time. And that really kind of led me into the USTA. And as soon as I started, it was, again, it wasn't really like a job for me. It was more like a calling. It was a natural fit for me. I just loved it. I remember my first trip was young girls with Sasha Vickery and Vicky Duvall. And, I started the job and they go. And I really loved it. It was a natural fit for me. So I haven't looked back.
You mentioned, though, you had your son and then played a little bit after. So that kind of puts things in perspective, seeing all these moms on tour right now. It's so insane and inspiring how quickly they bounce back. You can relate a little bit to that, can you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's wonderful. I look back on my career, and those were some of the best days of my career, traveling as a family with my son and my husband, and my parents would come too, and those were some of the best moments. And I really, to see Serena with Olympia, it's just so adorable. And Kim Clijsters coming back. I mean, it's really nice to see that. I think it puts things in perspective as well.
So I've read this before. I don't know if it's accurate, but I've read it that you are at your strongest after you've given birth. For 2 years, you're at your strongest peak. Would you agree with that?
I tell you what, I had such a great pregnancy. I never felt better and healthier. I gained a lot of weight, but but I also lost it pretty quickly. But I believe that. I do believe that.
Yeah, I mean, I told that to Mandy Minella, who was in Houston.
Right.
And I mean, the girl, I actually asked her, I think, 3 times. I was like, are you sure you had a baby?
Yeah.
Like, are you sure? Because, I mean, she just looks phenomenal. And Patricia Teague is another one. I mean,
there's so many. So wonderful to see the kids. And, you know, my son also remembers that, going back to Wimbledon and the French. You know, he remembers growing up there and playing with other kids even later. So it really is a tennis family.
Does he still keep in contact with some of the kids that he grew up with?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. But I think when he goes to tournaments, you know,
feels like home.
They would all go out and play tennis and hang out or be in the nursery together. It was really fun.
That's awesome.
I like hearing about this because I am one of the many people who feel like as a woman in your career, you have to put either your family or your career first. And there's this time where you're getting to your late 20s and you're like, oh no, like I have to take advantage of this time and maybe like leave my career. And that's scary to me. Like, I don't know, Irina, maybe you can relate a little bit because we're getting older, but
I mean,
you know,
we're all
you feel like you're running out of time, and seeing moms on tour is like, hey man, you can do whatever you want to do still, even though you want to have a kid. I don't know.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody is different. Some moms do decide, like, hey, I want to stay home. I'm good after having their kid. But when you see these players and you lose to these players out there that have had kids, and you're like, all right, well, I mean, the tennis doesn't go away. And I mean, when you have, I think, how long was it when you were still playing while you were pregnant? How long was it? How many months were you along? And you were still playing?
I actually, when I found out I was pregnant, I stopped.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I stayed home. And then I started up about 6 months after I had Duke.
because I was talking with Mandy, and I think her last tournament was Wimbledon.
Yes, I've had some indirect losses.
Yeah.
So I think Liz Smiley back in the day was pregnant, and I think I had a loss in doubles from her. And I was like, wait a second, that's triple. Three against two over here.
So I was talking to Mandy about it, and she was like, yeah, so in July was when she stopped. That was her last tournament. Had her child in October and was playing matches in February. Now that turnaround is ridiculous to me. But she told me, she was like, you know, I felt so strong. I was ready to go. And then, I mean, when you are fit in your pregnancy, I mean, you don't really lose so much. She's like, well, my movement was obviously altered, but I'm sure you get it back. You get it back so quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, careers are longer today. So I think, you know, you see players like Serena. I mean, she is an inspiration to a lot of us because she's, you know, in Venus. I mean, look, they're getting close to 40. So, and they're still out there and competing. And You know, Serena with the baby. So I think that that has inspired a lot of players too. So it's just wonderful to see, and the kids are so cute.
Irina, maybe you do have 10 more years left. So we're talking about kids. Let's go a little bit older. Sophia Kennan, for me, is a standout name from Fed Cup because I remember her playing in Prague, and she kind of got thrown into the final, and now she's top 15 in the world. And people don't talk about her as much as they do about some other of these other big players. I think Coco Gauff stole a lot of spotlight this year, but Kennan to me really stands out as someone who could be, I mean, I'm not going to say Grand Slam champion, but she's the real deal. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, she's the real deal. I am just super proud of Sonia. She's an incredible professional. She is one of the hardest workers I know. And she's been that way since she was 7 years old. I've known her since she was seven. And as soon as she hits the court, she is intense. Every practice is like a match. She's grown a lot physically, but also she's had a growth mindset for her game. I think she's made so many improvements, and I think Irina can probably agree with this. And her competitive spirit, I mean, she is a competitor. I think, you know, she's just come up and had such an incredible year, and I couldn't be happier for someone because she has really put the work in.
One of the things I noticed while I was watching her play, I remember watching her play at the French Open against Serena, and everybody had camera on her when she had that match point, right? And afterwards, you know, it was just like fist pump, go to the net. It was like, this is just business. This is just what I do. And that was one of the things I noticed. I mean, every single title that she's won this year, it was just like a fist pump. This is just another day in the office. This is just, I come out here to win. And that's so impressive. And
that's a great point.
That was one thing I, you know, you always have to wonder, someone so young to rise up in the rankings so quickly. Do you think it's going to be a little bit of a shock now that she's top 20? Like, is that going to be?
I don't think it's been that quickly because I think she's been working at this for a while. I think she's continually grown and continually improved. I like the route that she's taken. It's not like she's had a couple big tournaments and, you know.
And then disappeared.
Yeah, she's had consistency.
Consistency.
And right. I think that is huge.
That's huge.
Yeah. And so, you know, how far she can go, I would never count her out because she's a competitor and she's a fighter. So, you know, life on tour, there's always bumps and obstacles in the way, but she's a tough girl, and she's a really sweet girl off the court.
Do you think she can win a slam?
I do.
Right. Yes.
I do. You gotta look out for her then.
Well, you know, I love the American girls are tough.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what Irina was describing there about how she kind of acts like she belongs there and has this fist bump every time she wins anything, very similar. I think she has a bit of what we call tunnel vision, where you're so focused on what you're doing, you don't think about the cameras or who's watching or who you're playing.
Right.
And that's something that Coco Gauff was saying on the Beyond the Baseline podcast. She said that her goal for 2020 was to maintain tunnel vision.
Mm.
And in players so young, I think that's something that's a really unique trait that sets them apart from maybe a normal 15-year-old or a normal 21. 21 is still really young.
Right.
And I mean, that's got to be something that plays a big part.
That's a very mature statement, isn't it? Tunnel vision. She's very mature for her age, Coco Gauff. Incredible family, incredible team around her. I just love being around her and watching her and how she's handling everything. I mean, now talk about a big splash at Wimbledon, right? A lot of expectation on a 15-year-old and how she's handled it so well. And that just speaks volumes about her as a person and her family and everyone around her. And I think that is so important today, that who you surround yourself with and who has input and who's keeping things in perspective. And so tunnel vision is so important. You know, she wants to be the best. There's no doubt about it. So it'll be really fun following her come 2020 as well.
I love the idea of tunnel vision, but I'm always trying to play devil's advocate here. Do you think it can ever be too much? Do you think that at that age, sometimes you have to be like, okay, I'm still a 15-year-old,
right.
I'm still a young...
But I think if you see her, and I'm sure you see her post and follow her, she is still your typical, she's doing some fun things.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about tunnel vision with balance, really, right? And I think balance, you know, we always use the B word, that's balance. You know, and I think that that's what these young players have. And I think Coco, she's found that balance. Katie McNally, Whitney Osigwe, Amanda Anisimova, all these young players coming up. And I don't want to forget any because we have so many good young players coming. You know, and I think they all see that. And I think they all are inspired from one another. And it's a healthy competition. When one sees one doing well, the other one kind of says, hey, you know, why can't I do that? So I think it's really great. And it's exciting for me as a past champ, as past player, to see that. You know, and it's an exciting time to be a part of American tennis.
The girls are pushing each other so
they
hard.
They are.
Awesome. Yeah. It sounds like you have a little bit invested in pretty much every American female player, and you're a part of their success, part of their journey, but you're not fully invested in one player. Is that right? Or do you have a position where you're one player's head coach too?
No. First of all, I don't want to take any credit.
Come on.
I really don't.
You're
because
like the guru.
I am the one, you know, I like to be behind the scenes. And I, you know, these girls all have incredible teams around them. They deserve the credit. They're doing the work in, you know, day in and day out. You know, wherever I can help and wherever I can be an extra support, that's where I come in. And, you know, I love to be at the tournaments and supporting the teams, but I don't get any of the credit.
But do you ever wish you had the one player that you were working with, or you think it's better to be able to, is your role better? I guess is my point. You know?
You're hit. Oh, boy. That's tough to say. I mean, I obviously love coaching and being invested with a player.
Were you ever in a position where you were asked, like, hey, I want you to be my full-time head coach, like, full-time?
As a national coach or as...
Or no, just like private.
Oh, privately. Never, privately. Yeah. Maybe. But, you know, I do love what I'm doing because I feel like I can, you know, impact maybe many players in American tennis and give back to the sport. So I really do like my position, although I do love being on court and having that one-on-one relationship too and really being able to impact somebody's life in a positive way. Hopefully I'm still able to do that. I feel like I can still, and I try to do that with all the players. So.
Hi everyone, you're listening to the Tennis.com podcast with U.S. Fed Cup captain Kathy Rinaldi. We're looking ahead to 2020 and some amazing young American players to watch out for, including Coco Gauff and Sophia Kenin. Keep listening.
All right, let's say Sophia Kenin is playing against like an Allison Risk or a Sloane Stephens and you want to watch this match. Where do you sit?
I sit neutral and I sit up high and, you know.
As far away.
Yeah.
I've caught her possible. In the stands sitting in random seats. I've seen this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. You know, I think I have so much respect for all these players. You know, they're going to play each other. And the more Americans we have, I mean, it's inevitable that they're just going to be playing each other even more often, which is a great problem to have, too. Right. And they all know each other. So, you know, there's nothing that I can do that's, you know, going to do, you know, one way or the other. May the best American win, and I'm proud of all of them.
All right, so 2020, we mentioned the Olympics, but there's also going to be a big change in Fed Cup. What does your Fed Cup schedule look like? Because... Can you break it down a little bit? What's changed? Is it just like the guys are now because they're playing in Madrid and I'm struggling to follow?
I think a lot of people are struggling to
I'm
follow.
Lost. How, I want to just congratulate our U.S. Davis Cup captain, Marty Fish, on his first Davis Cup tie.
4 a.m. finish.
Yes, you know? 4 a.m. finish and all heart out there. I mean, they played and they did not even – they won and they didn't advance. So that was all heart. And I just want to say how proud I am of all those boys. I mean, I've known them a long time too. So I stayed up and watched and I was just blown away by all their heart and soul that they showed in that doubles match. And Riley and Taylor and the whole team and staff. It was incredible. Yes, but Fed Cup starts in February. We have the home-away tie as a qualifier to get to the final in Budapest in April. So it's a two-week.
So it's The February starts February 3rd to 9th, I think. Or
yeah, it's a final is 1 week, so and then we have the 1 week qualifier. And it's just been announced we're right outside of Washington, of Seattle, in Everett, Washington. So we're pretty excited.
At least you get to indoors.
It'll be indoors.
Stay nationally.
Right.
So we have got
the
home.
Yeah, we play Latvia.
Okay, so you have to win that match, and then you're into the finals.
We have to win that match to get to Budapest.
And the Budapest finals are in April?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, right before Stuttgart, same week, before Stuttgart.
I mean, I think that's maybe a little bit easier in terms of planning out everyone's schedules because you only have 2 weeks. Are there pros and cons to this change?
Yeah, there are pros and cons. I think, you know what, we need to play it, and, you know, I'm all for whatever's going to grow the sport and for whatever's going to grow Fed Cup. You know, we have more countries now involved, which is wonderful. It will be interesting to see. You know, it's tough for me because I didn't get to play a final at home. So, you know, that's the only thing. But we do have the home and away match to get to Budapest, and then there's nothing like that. So we're excited. Budapest is beautiful. We're excited about it. We have a tough match against Latvia, Ostapenko, and Sevastova. So we've got our work cut out for us.
What's your favorite part about Fed Cup?
My favorite part about Fed Cup,
obviously the wins.
Right. That goes without saying. Yeah, it's always more fun to win.
Right.
I would say just the times off the court, you know, the moments, the team bonding activities, the... You know, just a lot of fun. I mean, we have some great characters and lots of personalities. I mean, you know, Coco Vandeweghe is hilarious, and Bethany, and, you know, Danielle Collins, and then, you know, lucky enough to have Venus and Serena, and Sloan and Maddie. I mean, you just have so many different personalities that it's quite fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of team bonding experiences that I hear about, and the dinners and the pranks. And
yes. The rookie speeches. Yeah. Is that every time a player has their first Fed Cup experience,
they have to do
a speech?
Oh, yes. I think Shelby Rogers, I'm sorry.
She wins, hands down.
It. She did a rap, and it it was incredible.
It was filmed.
It was filmed. You guys need to add that to your podcast.
All right, we will.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. And, you know, some of the private coaches come too, which has really been fun too.
Is it hard balancing these players and all their entourages when they bring their coach and maybe they have their physical therapist and their friends and their significant others, and then you have your agenda?
You know, it really has been great, I have to say, because we have so many great tennis minds in the room. So, you know, one of my favorite parts actually is the analytics. I bring our team here from player development, David Ramos and Jeff Russell. And we have a big round table discussion. I bring the private coaches in, and, you know, it's really fun to work together. You know, you have all these great tennis minds, so why not tap into them? And it's been a really fun experience, actually. And I think it's great for the players because it gives them a little still of individual work for that week. So they're not losing a week because, you know, I know that there's a tournament coming up and events coming up. So you don't want to disrupt their training. So it's really been fun.
Everybody has the same mindset.
I mean,
you just want to get better.
Yeah, and then there are some girls that don't want to bring their coach. They just want to come alone. So, you know, it works out. They have they can do what they like.
I feel like you have to have a really positive, open-minded attitude to be the Fed Cup U.S. captain. You do.
You have
that. You have to have a really, like, very open, great personality. It sounds like you're the perfect person for this job.
Well, thank you.
You're meant for this job, which is kind of what we were touching on.
Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate that. I try my best, that's for sure. You know, it's not about me. It's about the players. And, you know, and that's why I took this job. It's not about me. I had that in my past. It's, you know, I had that tunnel vision and that, you know, selfish mindset when I played. But now it's all about the players and giving back and what I can do to bring everybody more together and make American tennis the strongest it's ever been.
All right.
All right. Well, Kathy, I think on that note... on a great note, I think we can end our episode of the Tennis.com podcast. Kathy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's Captain always a Kathy. Pleasure to be with Falcone and Nina.
I've been Nina Pantic, joined by Irina Falcone and Fed Cup captain Kathy Rinaldi.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
From the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, this has been the Tennis.com podcast. Be sure to subscribe to stay caught up. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major listening app, as well as tennis.com/podcasts. You can also see the video of our episodes on Tennis Channel's YouTube page and Tennis.com's Facebook page. We're your hosts, Nina Pantic and Irina Falcone. We'd like to thank our team, editor and audio designer Luke Mahoney, video editor Christina Koseva, producers Alexa March and Sean O'Malley, and executive producers Shelby Coleman, Kyle Einhorn, and Andy Chu.